This program was made possible with the support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Find out more at cbf.org.au.
We've all seen the vendors in their bright yellow jackets on the streets of Adelaide selling the highly regarded magazine, The Big Issue. But do you know the story behind the magazine, as distinct from the stories within the magazine?
Hello, I'm Matt Stedman. I'm the State Operations Manager for South Australia.
I'm Brian Whitehouse. I'm a Big Issue vendor for South Australia.
I've seen Brian sitting outside Radio Adelaide for many years selling the magazine, The Big Issue. And I've always been interested in the issues that it approaches. But today we're here to find out the background story. Matt, as state manager, what's your responsibility?
My job is to support the vendors to help sell the magazine. So that involves, you know, making sure we have the right permits to work in council areas, making sure that I'm supporting them so they can sell in different spots in and around the city, and just making sure that they have magazines in their hands, which sounds like a simple concept, but it does take a lot of work. And I guess the people that I support to sell The Big Issue, they have numerous different issues that they're dealing with, and my job is to help support them to, you know, get out there so they can sell.
And Brian, you're a legendary vendor. How did you get that title?
Well, I've been doing it for 21 years now. I started in Sydney and came to Adelaide in 2002. I've been outside Radio Adelaide 12 years now before it even got built down here. I just enjoy it because it gets me out there doing something worthwhile, meeting people and making money at the same time.
Brian, you've actually been with The Big Issue since just after it began. Can you tell us about when it first started?
When we first started in Sydney back in 97, it was very hard. The magazines were $2 each and a lot of people didn't even know what the magazine was. And we've had people walk past, get a job, get a life, it's not going to last. And Andrew Denton was one of those people that walked past and said to a vendor, "Our use won't last." 2 years down the track, we're still going strong.
That's very unusual for Andrew Denton. He's usually the champion of people who are willing to give it a go and look after themselves.
Yeah, well, like I said, the magazine wasn't well known. And so he didn't know what it was about. He didn't stop. He just kept walking. But a few years ago, he actually had three of our Big Issue vendors, one from Perth, here in Melbourne, I think, on his show.
Matt, from those small beginnings in 1997, what has it grown to now?
I guess it's just worth pointing out that we originally borrowed the concept from the UK Big Issue. So that got started in 91, you know, with a start-up between John Bird and the Body Shop. And, you know, that grew to support people who were on the streets to earn some money. And then we took the concept from there and it launched on the streets of Melbourne in 1996, and since then it's expanded throughout Australia. It has come from humble beginnings. Brian knows he started selling, you know, at its beginning, so it's taken a while for us to kind of get the word out there, and we're still trying to work really hard and trying to get people to understand what it's really about. I guess the last, you know, 22 plus years, I think that's a really impressive effort, I think, something that we're really proud of, to be a social enterprise that's lasted that long. And I guess the challenge is to get people to understand that these people are working really hard for their money. They're trying to earn a living on the streets. They're trying to change their lives for the better, and I think that's what Brian does every day. And he works really hard hours at the Palace. He works really hard hours at Glenelg, you know, rain or shine. He's out there. That's the story that we're trying to promote at the moment.
So, Brian, you're basically self-employed.
That's right. We buy the magazine for $4.50 and sell it for $9. So we make the profit they don't, and we do whatever hours we want, whatever days we want. If we don't feel like working, we just ring up and let them know that we're not going to work that day. Or if we want to finish early, we just let them know. No time we get in trouble when we do something wrong.
Do you ever do anything wrong, Brian?
I try not to. I try to do the right thing.
You've always got a big smile on your face. You've always got a hello for people who walk past. And it's not a forced sale type thing. You know, it's a genuine thing that looks to me as though you're saying, "Hi, it's nice to see you."
Well, I'd rather have people feeling comfortable coming up to me and buying it, because that way they're going to read the magazine. Where from past experience, when you try to force it on them, I'm sure they might buy it. They won't read it. They'll just walk up, throw it in the bin.
Oh, so it's got so many interesting stories in it. They're very topical. Matt, how do you source the stories that go into the magazines?
Well, look, that's a really good question. I think that's probably a better question to ask the editor. But the way that we look at it is that we try and look at different things and current affairs that are happening at any given time. I guess we always try and have a few different stories that connect to social issues that we're close to as well. We started to really look at, I guess, other magazines and street papers around the world that are part of the International Street Paper Network, and we started to borrow some of those ideas as well. But it's things like, for example, like we had Bon Jovi on the cover a couple of editions ago, but he also has a foundation that supports homeless people in America. So it's not just about the fact he's touring at the moment, it's not just a popular magazine, but we try and connect it to social issues that we're trying to promote as well.
How many vendors would you have around Australia at this stage?
I reckon we probably have between about 550 and 600 vendors all around Australia. We have roughly between about 50, 55 vendors working here in Adelaide and then around Adelaide as well and in some suburban areas as well.
Do they go out into the rural areas?
Yes. I'm sure you can imagine it gets pretty tough. Brian works pretty hard in working at Glenelg. That can be pretty hard sometimes. We have a few areas outside of Adelaide, like at Stirling, Blackwood, Awalunga, and we also have one vendor that works out at Wyala, but it can be really hard because they need that extra support and that can be really hard to run from, you know, here in the city. So there are a few areas.
Brian, talk us through a typical day for you. How does it start off? When do you get your magazines and what happens then?
Well, I try to get the magazines the day before so I could just go straight down there and start selling. I'll start about 11 o'clock down the bay and 12:30 here on the weekends. Down the bay, I'm there until about 4 or 5 o'clock. Well, it depends on the weather and how I'm feeling. On a Saturday, I'm here until 9:30, 7 o'clock on a Friday, and 5 or 6 o'clock on a Sunday. Well, depends how busy it is.
I notice you're also here on some public holidays.
Yeah, because I find it's busier here than what I do down the bay.
Are you working Christmas Day and New Year's
Day? I'm tossing up to work on Christmas Day, but I'll be working Boxing Day and New Year's Day.
So that's in Cinema Place, is it?
Yeah.
In the city?
Outside Radio Adelaide.
Outside Radio Adelaide, the old stalwart.
Yeah.
What has been some of the unique experiences that you've had over your time as a vendor?
I was on the side of the Sydney Council buses for 3 months.
I hope that was a picture of you, not you.
It was a picture. It was for a website that was helping young people. I got to meet some celebrities, Bones Hillman from Midnight Oil, Christina O'Neill, Tim Friedman and Sandra Sully. And I used to sit down and have coffee with Bones Hillman. It's just worthwhile. Just the experience being out there. Some days you might not get many sales, but if I make enough of what I need, I'm happy.
From those early days of people not understanding what the big issue was all about and telling you to get a job, do you think that public perception of the vendors has changed now?
I don't get it as much as what I used to back then. I'll get the odd person now. We're getting a lot more support from shopkeepers. They'll come out and look after us, give us discounts on coffee or that. People shout us coffee, lunches and that. So we're getting a lot more support now than what we were back then because people have got a better understanding now.
And that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they understand what the big issue is about as well? Are they appreciating it for what its contents reveal?
A lot of people do, but a lot of people also buy it just to help the person out because they get to interact with us, and once they get to know us, we become friends and have a laugh with each other and have a talk, so it's all worthwhile.
What do you think your life would have been like without the big issue?
I probably wouldn't be alive now. Before I started, I had 2 nervous breakdowns. My health wasn't all that good, and I was thinking about suicide. So I wouldn't be around now.
Well, I'm glad you found the big issue, Brian, because you cheer up my day a lot of times when I come in here.
What I do to keep myself happy, I think of ways how to play practical jokes on friends.
Oh.
And even though you're not going to do it, still makes you sort of laugh on the inside. I've carried a couple out over years. I stir my boss up here a lot.
Well, I leave that for another time, I think. No, look, I get lots of feedback about Brian. You know, he's really great with customers and remembers them, and his jokes are very lighthearted, and it's just a nice way to make them feel comfortable. And it's nice that they know that he really cares about them and he appreciates their support as well.
It must cost a lot of money to produce a magazine like this. Mm. And obviously you're getting some of that return from the vendors. Mm. Do you have to look elsewhere for funding as well?
No. I mean, I guess our organisation, we have a few different programs that we run to support marginalised people. So there's not just the big issue, there are other programs that we do. But the actual magazine itself is supposed to be self-sufficient. So the idea is that the money that the vendors pay for the magazine, that goes into the production costs, all that kind of stuff. So it's really self-sufficient. We don't get any government funding for it.
And how many staff do you have?
Oh, that's a tough question. Here in SA, we probably have about three. Yep. Oh, that's accurate. And nationally, we probably have about, I'd probably say about 50 or 60.
Brian, have there been any particular stories that have stood out for you?
11 years ago, I actually flew home to Townsville and spent a week with my mother and sisters for the first time in 14 years. And they were really impressed in that because I paid for it all myself. 2 years later, I flew up again and actually spent time with one of my favourite uncles. We went out fishing for the day in that. And then 3 years ago, I actually got to fly home and surprise my mum for her birthday. And she said that was the best surprise she ever had.
So the big issue provides more than just something for you to do during the day. It actually extends out to benefits for your family as well.
Well and truly, it helps with our self-esteem, our self-confidence. It gives us that chance to talk to people a lot more confident. I used to stutter real badly, where now you wouldn't think so. And that's through help of customers in Sydney and that, because I used to work down the road from the Royal Prince Alfred. So I had a lot of doctors and nurses buying off me there, and they were helping me get over it. And now I hardly ever stutter.
Matt, what's your relationship like with your vendors? Do you get them together on a regular basis? Do you have interaction between the staff and the vendors?
Yeah. I mean, I like to think about it as that we're a team and we're all striving for the same thing, I guess, and we want to help each other. I guess the main form of interaction that we have is that every 2 weeks we have a breakfast for the release of the new edition every 2 weeks. So that's a really nice moment to kind of sit down. I guess there's lots of moments at the office where Brian will come in and sit down and we'll catch up. Every now and then I'll try and actually come to their pitch and catch up, because I guess, you know, Brian's at Glenelg, so sometimes I won't see him for, you know, a few weeks. So every now and then I'll come down and have a chat to him on his pitch, which is nice because it's a nice chance to get to see where they work and where they build their sales and customer base.
Service Voices is all about service to country and service to community. I see that what you're doing is fabulous in both areas. How do you see it?
I would look at it from two different viewpoints. Whenever a vendor is away or has left for different reasons and they've been working in an area for a while, we get people calling up and asking where they are. I think what's really amazing is that they become part of that community. And, you know, even Brian was part of a photo gallery expo that was done in Glenelg where he was part of the scenery. So they're an important part of that community. I guess the other side of the work that we're trying to do with vendors is that we're trying to provide this really important opportunity for people to earn a living where they can't find mainstream work. And I think that's a really important part in society. I guess there's a gap between people who can't find work and where there is formal work. So I think that's a really important part of society, that we're trying to provide the opportunity for people to change their lives, to take control of their situation and earn a living. We also had a really exciting thing that happened a couple of months ago where we released digital payment options. So Brian obviously now has the option there if you want to use your card or Apple Pay to tap and go and actually pay for a magazine. You can now do that with Brian. And there's going to be many vendors around in and around Adelaide that will have that option as well. So that's really exciting.
Also, we have our own big issue calendar out as well.
Are you selling those on the street?
Yes, we are, and they work the same way as the magazine. We buy it for $5 and sell it for $10, so we make the profit, they don't.
What's been the reaction from your customers about having a digital payment option?
Some are surprised, some are real happy about it. I get people walk past the cinemas on the weekend going, oh, we've only got a card. And when we got digital, they'd walk past, oh, we only got card, not turn, but we got tap and go now. They go, drats. So, but they were happy to stop and use the card to buy it. They can buy the magazine now. So, and I've actually got regulars that's going to buy it with tap and go all the time now. It started off good, like everything, it starts off good, then it slows down, then it'll gradually pick up again.
Yeah. Did you have any trouble dealing with that technology?
We had a bit of trouble at the start, but once we got it up and running, it's been quite good.
Brian, I really admire you. You're running your own business, and that's fabulous. And you're able to pay for airfares to go and see your family. What a difference that must make to them and to you too.
It makes a big difference because once I achieve something like that, it boosts my confidence and self-esteem up. Not only myself, because once our customers see that, regular customers see that, we've gone and done it, they feel proud also because they were involved in helping us. So it works both ways.
Matt, the future for the big issue, where do you see it going?
I hope the magazine remains for years and years to come. I think it provides an important opportunity for people to earn a living. And I think, yeah, look, I hope it keeps going. I hope people keep supporting it and I hope they keep realising how important it is. You know, hearing Brian's story, there's many more like that. you know, around Adelaide and around the country. Yeah, look, I hope it keeps going. I imagine there's probably going to be new and exciting products that come along the way, but that just comes with technology.
And Brian, would you like to give a message to your customers and your fans out there?
Keep on buying the magazine and supporting us. Don't be shy coming up talking to one of us, because we won't bite. Might give you a little bit of cheek, but we won't bite. And thank you for the support.
Matt and Brian, thanks for coming in today and talking with Service Voices.
Thank you, Helen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Keep an eye open for Brian and his fellow Big Issue vendors. And whenever you can, stop and purchase one of their excellent magazines.